I am so excited to announce my newest baby, a book for parents all about tongue tie. Tongue Tie for Parents is the book you need if you have any questions about whether there's a tongue tie, how to get treatment, if your baby needs treatment, how to go about it, how to make decisions, how to help you and your baby recover. All of that is in this ebook. Every day I get questions from parents like you, and I know you need answers. Tongue Tie for Parents is built from the same step-by-step protocol I use when families sit across from me in my office. It's the information that you need for clarity, for confidence, and to help you make care decisions based on your own goals, because that's what's most important. You shouldn't need a Google search to get answers. You aren't crazy or overreacting. You are trying to figure out what is best for you and your baby. It's here and ready for you. Tongue Tie for Parents is an easy download. You can have it today for only $27. Go to tonguetieexperts.net/parentbook or follow the link in the show notes, because you and your baby deserve clarity, not confusion. You're listening to the Tongue Tie Experts podcast, a weekly program providing information and support for those families impacted by tongue and lip tie and the professionals caring for them. I'm Lisa Palladino, a midwife and a lactation consultant with over 30 years of experience. If you are a parent looking for answers or a professional who is curious to learn more than what you learned in school on this topic, welcome. This podcast is for you. Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. My name is Lisa Palladino, and I'm your host. And today I have two guests. I am thrilled to have with me Dr. Martin Rosen and Dr. Nancy Watson. Both are chiropractors, and they are a husband and wife team, and they've been working together for a very long time. And today we are going to talk about their new book. So welcome, guys. Thank you for being here on our podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks a lot, Lisa. We appreciate it. It's great to be back again on your podcast. It was a lot of fun last time.
Yeah, you were on Dr. Marty way back in season two, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Well, a lot of changes have occurred since that time.
Yes,
for sure.
And we do appreciate it. We follow your work. We appreciate all the work you're doing educating people about the importance.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I follow your work. And, you know, the amount of content that is good information that you guys are putting out on Instagram, which is just a hint, I'm sure, of your real teaching. You know, that's impressive to me. So we are a mutually admiration society.
Good to have support that way.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me what you've been up to. First of all, where is your practice? Tell my listeners about what you do in the real world other than teaching.
Yeah, so our practice is in Wellesley, Massachusetts, which is a suburb of Boston. It's about 14 miles west of Boston. It is basically a bedroom community. We've been there since 1982 or 81.
82.
Yeah, so on the same location, we've taken care of four generations of people through that time.
That's amazing.
Yeah, when we graduated in 1981, our focus was on lifetime family care. And our first daughter was born in 1982, which really propelled us into really specializing in pediatrics. She was kind of the driving force because in chiropractic school, pediatrics is actually a postgraduate study. So we have developed a program over the years, our specific technique that we certify doctors in pediatric chiropractic, especially pediatric cranial chiropractic.
I love that. You know, so many professionals come to this work through their children.
Absolutely.
And right now, I'm experiencing a new appreciation of what parents go through by experiencing my grandchildren.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, it's a whole new world and things are different now. Thank goodness we have more options and more treatments. But there's also, I feel like, more challenges as we learn.
It's a more difficult time for parents in a lot of ways because there is so much information. And that's part of why we kind of wrote the, you know, the second edition of the book to help parents wade through all the information that's out there. If you go online and, you know, put in one thing, you can get a list of symptoms, and parents are just, sometimes they come into the office and they're literally shell-shocked because they've got so much information. They don't know where to go with this child. And, you know, I'm sure you know what it's like, and we know what it's like having your first child, and it's a little bit of a crapshoot. You know, yeah. You're not quite sure what
you
to
hope
know.
You know. I mean,
and you need guidance.
But the number one driving force of every parent is they want to know if they're doing it right. They want to do the absolute best for their child. Mm-hmm. That is a motivator. There's certainly a motivator for people to seek out information. And for, you know, our point of view, the more educated you are, the more informed you are, the better decisions that you will make.
See, that's why you're on my podcast, because you're speaking my language.
Exactly.
It's all about informed decision and figuring out what's right for your family, because the right thing is different for different families, right?
That's so important also, I think, because new parents judge themselves. Sometimes they, you know, they look at the Joneses and what they've done and they compare themselves, or they think, you know, or something didn't happen right. They go, oh, what should I have done different or done wrong? You have to forget when you're parenting that there's another human being involved in that process. You know, and you may have certain goals and things that you think are going to work, but the other being is going to take in what you and process it in a different way. So again, I think parents need the information. They also need not to be judged. They also have to understand that it's very, very individual. There's no cookie-cutter way to raise a kid or to look at a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and absolutely more of that compare and despair, as we call it, because of social media and because of, you know, even my own daughter will say to me, Mom, I saw this post, and she'll say this whole thing that's totally not true. I mean, totally not true. And she's saying, why is she saying that? I'm like, because she wants to somebody to buy her thing, you know?
Yeah.
Right. It's so true. I mean, like, we have been around long enough and long before there was the internet. So when we sought information, it was usually from other people that came before us, whether it be parents or grandparents or experts out in the world. We had to go find it. And I think in some ways that was hard to find, but in some ways it's easier than what goes on now. There's so much information, so much misinformation, and it's really hard for parents to know what's right and what's wrong. They really need guidance. I mean, so that's kind of like what we talk about. We actually talk about the neurology. We actually talk about the nervous system. We talk about the cranium and all these things to give you the information of the structure that your baby's coming in the world with, and also then to then tell you how to best optimize that. So again, everyone is going to choose something different. We don't tell you how to do it. We just tell you what we're looking for. Are your babies hitting your milestones? Are the reflexes integrated? You know, is the cranium distorted? These are kind of the questions that I certainly would have asked as a new parent as well.
Mm-hmm. So let's just get back to basics for. Not everybody knows about chiropractic. Now, I was blessed that my mom took me to a chiropractic practice that's very similar to yours. Mm. You know, the chiropractor I used was, I remember I would be in her downstairs in her office, and I could hear her kids upstairs, and her husband worked on the days that she didn't. Same kind of setup,
same
right?
Thing, actually, yeah.
Same thing.
Our kids and that's, really, I yeah. grew up going to the chiropractor. Yeah. So familiar with chiropractic my entire life, and bless her, Dr. Goldstein, her name is, she fell during COVID and she had to retire. And, you know, I still, every once in a while, I'll run into her, and she's just the sweetest lady. And she meant so much to me in my life. So I'm sure there are patients that you feel the same right. way, right?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Well, people have been, like Nancy said, we're taking care of four generations.
It's amazing.
You know, I adjust people. She just brought her kids in last week, and I adjusted her the day after she was born. I went to her house and adjusted her there, and now I'm adjusting her kids.
Right.
I think, as far as chiropractic goes,
Talk about what is chiropractic.
So we need to move chiropractic out of neck and back pain. It's great for that, and it's great for adults. But what we're really talking about is we are people that evaluate the nervous system and how it functions. It happens to be the nervous system is housed in the spine and the cranium, so it has a bony protective mechanism. But within that protective mechanism is the underlying wiring. That is the nervous system. And so as pediatric chiropractors, especially, our job is to literally make sure that that wiring is hooked up correctly, that there's no interference to the transmission of the impulses to that wiring. So because the nervous system is intimately related to the immune system, so and that's related to every other system in the body. So our avenue of approach is through the spine, but our affect is into that nervous system. So we're dealing with the ability of the body to have a strong immune system, to hit developmental milestones, to process information, you know, growth and development. Even just the structural aspects of the nervous system affects how the bones grow. So even those people who can't understand that level understand that the structure of the mechanics of the nervous system is developed in those first 2 years of life. So if there are misalignments, irritations, imbalances in the actual bony structure, that can be transmitted later on and on. So nothing starts from the beginning. If someone notices a child with a curve in their spine, or a child with a processing issue, there was an onset earlier on that occurred that created that compensation that ended up in a symptom. So our job as pediatric chiropractors is to look at the spine, the nervous system, and actually look for those glitches before they actually become symptoms.
So I think if you're a person that's never thought about what a chiropractic or what a chiropractor does, I mean, first of all, we are doctorate level degrees. So we do take, you know, four years after our other degrees. So we are an educated process to talk about exactly these things about the nervous system. Some chiropractors specialize in sports. Some chiropractors specialize in geriatrics. There are specialties within chiropractic, just like there is in medicine. I think the thing that's different between us and maybe the medical model is that we have what we call a salutogenic model. We have a model that understands that the body has innate ability to heal, and it's our job right. To facilitate that. That's really what our difference is. So if you're a parent out there, or you're a mother or whatever, looking for answers, and you're not finding them in the avenues that you're looking, then think about looking in a different avenue. So, you know, there's so many different specialties out there. Chiropractic is our specialty. We work with the nervous system. We work and our specialty is pediatric. So we do take care of whole families. You don't age out at the age of five.
Right.
You know, we take care of people in our 90s that we take care of. So it's
right.
Well, the difference in the aspect, I guess the best way in a lot of ways describe it when, you know, Nancy says salutogenic model is we facilitate wellness. So it's not just about treating symptoms. And when I say facilitate wellness, is we look for the underlying issues that can allow the body to help create a more stronger environment. So there are a lot of outside influences that the body always has to deal with. So one of the things that chiropractic does, whether you're one day old or 90 years old, it helps increase your threshold to adapt. So whatever it is that you're adapting to, if you're a 90-year-old that's adapting to, you know, aging processes, still, if you can, your underlying structure, you can increase your threshold, you can adapt that. So one of the things that chiropractic does, and it's been proven year after year, no matter the age group, is it increases the body's ability to adapt to stresses, internal and external stresses.
So that brings up to me in the back of my head, I'm thinking resiliency.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's a big word in my life. Like, you know, as long as you're resilient, you're healthy, because life throws everything at you.
I mean, think about that as a new parent and now as a new grandparent. You certainly see the difference between what the world was like when your first child was born versus your first grandchild. And like you can project about what you think that child's going to need. You have no idea, because the world will move much faster. But what you want them to have is resiliency. Yeah. You want them to be able to adapt and to be able to rise to the occasions that they're going to be able, you know, that they can do what they are meant to do. So I think that's what we're all about is adaptability, resiliency, having a nervous system that can respond to the environment that you're in.
I think what's important is, you know, as parents, we all try to protect our children. We want to protect them all the time. And we know you can't. We know as older parents, and we see our kids, and, you know, we have two daughters, and they're both older now, and they're doing their lives. So we can't protect them. But what we can do is give them a good baseline to be as strong as possible as that for whatever they are. You know, one of the things that happens is I had a mom bring a little girl in who had some genetic issues. And she was not, you know, she had some compensation due to the genetic issues. She had some tonal issues. And one of the first things I asked the mom is I said, what are you expecting from chiropractic care? And she looked at me, she goes, look, I know my daughter has some issues. They're genetic issues. They'll probably be lifelong, but I want to give her the greatest opportunity to optimize her potential for who she is right now. And I was like, that's brilliant.
What a beautiful idea.
Right? And I didn't say it wasn't an educational process. This is how she came in. And that's what chiropractic does. It optimizes your individual potential, taking into effect all the things you do, whether it's, you know, stresses outside, physical stresses, bad food, whatever it is, you know. It optimizes that potential, and that's what we look at, and that's why people heal, and that's why you hear these, you know, air quotes, miracle stories about chiropractic, because it's not that the chiropractor did it. The chiropractor was able to unleash the body's ability to create healing.
Right. Are you ready for learning, connection, and a little bit of paradise? Join the International Association of Oral Facial Myology, the IAOM, for their annual convention happening October 16th through 18th, 2026, at the stunning Hyatt Regency Waikiki Beach in Honolulu, Hawaii. This year marks the 55th anniversary of the IAOM, the world's longest standing nonprofit dedicated to myofunctional therapy, and the organization behind the only third-party certification in oral facial myology. Come celebrate this incredible milestone while earning ASHA-approved speech CEUs and AGD-approved dental CE credits from leading experts from around the globe. This is your chance to learn, connect, and celebrate with professionals who are shaping the future of the field, all in one unforgettable educational summit. Early bird discounts are available now. Don't miss them. Visit IAOM.com to save your spot. See you in Hawaii. Aloha. So basically, when you're in alignment, your nervous system is functioning better and everything can flow better. I'm just making lay, you know.
Yeah, but no, that's great. Those are great lay references. Yeah, because people, it is. You know, I always think of it, we used to think of hose and water, and I don't like that analogy as much. What I really like is electrical currents, because that's how it works. It's electrical current. And if you start to get frayed wires within that system due to abnormal pressure, you get short circuits in the system. Now, you still have other pathways that can work through that, but eventually those compensations can lead to, you know, the circuit breaker breaking down and a switch being turned off, and then you have loss of function, and then you have a symptom, and that's often when people start to first notice things. You know, it's like infants, when we talk about kids, when we talk about kids diagnosed with learning disabilities or dysregulation issues, it's not till they're 3 and 4 that it often gets diagnosed. But the parent has noticed that happening, you know, in the first 18 months of life. Like, oh, this child's a little different than my other children. It's a little off. And it's that underlying system that we want to affect before you have to wait for a symptom, you know, a disease process to call it, which, you know.
So before you mentioned, first of all, that, you know, pediatrics should be a graduate level. It's and that's a question I get asked all the time. Like, how do I tell if I'm going to, if I recommend a patient to go, you should see a chiropractor, and they say, how do I know that the chiropractor is competent for my child? And I say, well, first of all, I always say word of mouth and experience, but recommendation,
of course.
And there are certain people that I recommend because I know they've had special training in my area. But also, you just don't want to walk into someone's office who mostly takes care of old people and doesn't have training. Just like you wouldn't go to a GI doctor if you had a heart problem.
Right.
Like this specialization there.
So, you know, if I was a new mother and I was a new mother and had a baby, I would certainly not just go anywhere. I mean, I don't know any mother that their instinct is going to be to protect their child.
Right.
So pediatrics is barely introduced in the curriculum for your DC. So it is a postgraduate program. So if the kid, if someone is just graduating, chances are they're not fully equipped with all that they would need, and they may have been introduced. So certainly the longevity they've been in practice. We have a referral directory of people that have studied with us specifically from literally all over the world. We have people from every continent. So that's something I would refer you to.
And that's on your website, right? We'll definitely link to that in our show notes.
I'm like you. I mean, I would go with referral. In mothers' groups, you know, ask around, because every mother, it really wants to protect their child.
Right.
And I would just be honest with it. Much as I love many chiropractors, there are many that just are not qualified to take care, especially babies. And it requires more training.
Yeah. You want to hear something interesting. So I told you I used to use a chiropractor, and she had a grandchild who was having trouble feeding.
Right.
And she, her daughter was a doctor,
right,
and she's a chiropractor, and her husband's a chiropractor. And she called me and said, Lisa, I don't know anything about oral restriction.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and she said, and I know you do. So come in and teach me. And we together, you know, I showed her She wasn't at the point where she was going to start adding that to her repertoire because that was just not her field. But I loved the fact that she recognized that I could teach her after all these years, you know.
And we do see that in some chiropractors. Like, I know chiropractors who won't take care of kids under age 10. They don't feel comfortable and they refer them out. So I think as a parent, when you don't have a direct referral, one of the things you should look at is, number one, of course, how long the person's been out of school. But when you call the office, the first question I would ask is, what percentage of your practice is pediatrics?
Right.
Just a simple question. They say, well, you know, I see kids once in a while. It's like, no. But if they're saying, well, 30% of my practice is pediatrics, that's a good number.
Right.
That's a really good number to look at that. And, you know, and does the doctor have any advanced clinical practice or clinical studies in pediatrics? Two nice questions, two questions that if you feel that the doctor feels offended, then it's probably not the right place for you to be anyhow. And those are two ways to get in. So if someone sees, you know, 20, 30% of their practice is pediatrics and they've taken some postgraduate classes in it, then at least you know you're in an avenue where they won't hurt your child. They have some experience and they have, you know what to do.
But you know, the experience you had with your chiropractor and going in there and teaching about that, I mean, we have it all the time. And the biggest motivator to study, because it's a hard study, it's a much harder study, is your own child. And we have chiropractors do the same thing. They, you know, they may be in there practicing an occasional child, but they have their first baby and they go, oh, I don't know what I need to know.
Yeah, we see that a lot.
And so they come and they study with us. It's a huge motivator. So personal contact, personal referrals, you know, so but yeah, it's like anything else. I mean, be careful. I mean, it's, you want to make sure.
I give the exact same information about the pediatric dentists I recommend. You know, I say, call the office. And if they say, oh, I have a laser, I've done a few, or, oh, I know how to do that, you want to run the other way. You know,
I do the same thing when, you know, we talk, if we send it to an orthodontist, they say, when you call the office, ask if they understand the idea of functional orthodontics instead of aesthetic orthodontics. If they say, oh, well, what are you talking about functional orthodontics? They don't understand that it's about function. Then you're probably not in the right place.
It's interesting you say about the laser because, you know, we take care of a number of dentists and they're like, I think I'm going to get in that market and buy myself a laser. I'm like, oh, please don't. Please just don't buy a laser and start slicing.
Take a weekend seminar.
Right. Yeah, there's so much more that goes on behind the scenes for that. And, I'm very proud to be a part of the education of dentists who are thinking about or purchasing a laser because there's a whole that opens up a whole nother can of worms. We could talk about that. But the other thing that you mentioned when you were talking about what you're assessing is milestones. Let's take a minute to talk about milestones because I think there's been a sense of milestones don't matter as much, or there's been some downgrading in the what's a milestone and when a baby should be doing a certain thing. And what do you mean when you're talking about, when you mention the word milestones?
So as human beings, we have certain similarities in our nervous system. And in the base of the brainstem, there's an area that is pre-programmed. And when I say pre-programmed, that means that certain things are supposed to happen neurologically and developmentally at, within a certain period of time. Just like an animal in the wild, right? It's a survival mechanism. So if you have like a horse that gives birth, right? Within a few hours or a few minutes, that baby's able to walk because they have to survive. So in the real world, what we have to do as infants, when we don't make our milestones, then what happens is we have a struggle to survive. So one of the first milestones is to be able to, when you come out of the uterus, is to be able to hold your head up. If you can't, you can suffocate, right? Mm-hmm. The next milestone to protect yourself is to be able to roll over. If you can't do that, then you can't basically avoid danger. But not only does that happen, every milestone integrates the nervous system more and more. So then we move from rolling over to sitting up. That's a balance mechanism that calls in more nerves in the vestibular system. From the balance mechanism, we go to creeping and crawling. Now, the CDC recently said that's not important. They're so wrong because that is so important because that integrates the nervous system. That stimulates right and left hemispheres, and it integrates the nervous system. The intercommunication neurons helps the nervous system develop. It's going to be very important processing later on. And then from the crawling stage, we need to go to walking, because then we have to increase our balance mechanism. Not only do these milestones increase neurological input, but they also increase social input. They help make social milestones, because when you can start to sit up, your world gets bigger. When you can crawl, your world gets bigger. When you can walk, your world gets bigger. So you socially interact at the same time. When you go from one milestone to the other, it increases your ability to socially interact. So all of it is about building a really strong nervous system. If you skip a milestone, or if you go through it too fast, you don't allow the nervous system to develop as well, to integrate as well. So the nervous system creates compensations, which may, you may not even know later on, but what happens is those, often those compensations will show up later on processing
issues.
There's
going to be some glitch.
There'll be a glitch. You have,
because these are pre-programmed.
They're in the brainstem. Yeah. They're pre-programmed. They're there in all of us.
And I certainly know that when I certainly was a new mom, I knew exactly those milestones were, because I was watching. Like, I wanted to know, is my baby on track? You know, because every parent's going to ask that question: is my baby okay? Mm-hmm. Am I doing the best? So
if the baby is not reaching a milestone, in my point of view, that's a red flag that something is going on. Right. We can prevent that, or we can
facilitate
things to happen. Right.
Well, you could do it externally and internally. In other words, by finding it, what the glitches in the nervous system that's preventing the milestones,
which is what we do
as chiropractors. And then you can help support that externally by helping the baby roll over, by teaching the baby to creep and crawl.
Right. By setting up the environment differently.
I mean, I think the thing that always blew me away, and I'm just going to really spend short time tonight, the CDC thing is like, so what they did is they found out that kids weren't reaching certain milestones, and they had been before that, but in the last couple of years they weren't. So instead of looking at why that was happening, they said, let's just lower the bar. And I'm like, I said to my friend, I said, you know, if we went to the Olympics every year, people got slower, didn't jump as high, and swam less. I said, we wouldn't be watching it. Human potential is to increase their potential, not decrease. And I'm like, why does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah. And I mean, my idea about why that happened is because there's more containers, there's less babies being held.
Of course.
Less free movement of babies. You know, I just saw one of my friends has a new grandson, and they posted a bunch of pictures of the baby and videos, and he's all swaddled up and unable to move his arms. And then when his arms are out, he's got mittens over them. And I'm like, what are they doing? Like, I want to reach through and go, take those mittens off. Let him feel the world, you know?
Or you have a kid who comes in with, you know, flathead syndrome, right? And you go, well, how does your baby? Well, they sleep swaddled on their back. I'm like, well, and then they're in the car seat the rest of the time, or the stroller. I said, well, of course their head's going to be flat. It's moldable. You've got to let the baby move.
But what's interesting, with all of these things that we these obstructions that we put in our children's life, the body, the brain will unwind, and will attempt to reach these milestones. So certainly if you've done this to your child, like if you've swaddled them or you've carried them and you never let them move or no tummy time, it's really okay. Their nervous system still can be integrated. The body will go towards balance. But because I know that a lot of parents just don't know. We had a mother that came into the office just yesterday that was talking about how she regretted swaddling. She was my second child, I will not do that. So, you know, so what you learn oftentimes by doing and then saying, I won't do that again. So that's one of the things I kind of want to get back to the on the head of why we did that. We have checklists at the end of each chapter that kind of go like what to look for and what you can do. So if you find yourself in a situation where, you know, maybe
you get an inkling, an intuitive inkling that something's wrong.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes it's just a look. Like I don't know, parents will come and say, doesn't his one eye look smaller than the other?
Right.
You know, when he turns his head, he seems to favor the left side more than the right side. Mm-hmm. When the eyes don't track right. Those are all little glitches that parents notice that may be a sign of something, may not be, but they need someone to help kind of sort through that and say, yeah, it's not appropriate that your child only turns their head to the left and that the right eye doesn't move to the laterally, only moves medially. So,
And you are recognizing and honoring that mother's instinct.
Absolutely.
Of course.
And instead of saying, oh, no, what are you talking about? Everything's fine, which is often what happens.
Well, yeah, I hate when they say, oh, they'll be fine or they'll outgrow it. Well, let's wait. Yeah. That's the other thing that I really caution parents, and I really would hope that they listen. If you go to a pediatrician and you're concerned about something, they say, let's wait find somebody else, because this is the time, those first 2 years of life, your nervous system developing at a rate that will never do again. Your brain grows twice its size in the first year, another 15% in the second year, and your cerebellum, which is where that brain stem is, grows 240% in the first year. So this is the window of opportunity. Don't wait. It's not a wait and see thing. You know, it's not like, you know, if you have a toothache, oh, I'm going to see if it goes away. That's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Nervous system development. So do not.
So we can make up for it later on, but if we want to optimize things early.
Absolutely. Well, it's a lot more work. How much harder is it to learn a language at 30 than it is at age 4?
Right.
You know, so why work that much harder when you don't have to?
Right. Yeah, I wish way back then.
We all wish.
We all wish, right?
There's not a parent alive that doesn't wish.
We wish differently for the next kid, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
But so, you learn from kids, right?
So I'm totally enjoying this conversation, but I don't want to keep you too long, but I do want to hear, we're hearing of hints about the book. Tell me the title of the book, where people can find it.
Okay, so
it's the second edition of It's All in the Head. It's the second edition of All in the Head.
Okay.
We did rewrite 3 chapters in it, but most importantly, one thing that we realized is that we gave people information, but we didn't give them an action step. So it's almost like you're sitting in a boat without an oar. So you notice this. So in the back of each chapter, is an action. They're action steps.
Beautiful.
And then you can take and so you can get this book on our website, which is drmartinrosen.com. You can also get it on Amazon. I think you can get it at Barnes & Noble as well. So yeah, it is available. It's All in the Head. It's by Dr. Martin Rosen and Dr. Nancy Watson.
All right. And our website, Dr. Martin Rosen, is drmartinrosen.com. You can do it. And like I said, you can get it on Amazon. It also is on Kindle. You can get a Kindle edition if you
want. I have the first edition.
We'll get you the second one. And it's being translated. It's also in Spanish now.
It's in Spanish, French, and Portuguese.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So guys, you are doing amazing work, and it's an honor to know you, and really special that you came on again. And I hope one day we can meet in person.
That's awesome. We'd love to.
Yeah. So where do you live now?
In New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey.
I know you're doing some new stuff. I've noticed it. So let us know what it is, but we can help facilitate that. We'd love to.
Excellent.
We know that working with tongue tie is so crucial.
I have my professional course. I have a parents course. I'm just in the process of publishing a very little ebook, but with a lot of information for parents.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah, send it to us so we can let people.
I will.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. Check out the show notes for useful links about the topics we discussed and for ways to follow us on social media. Please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. And if you enjoyed listening, we'd love it if you'd rate, review, and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Are you a healthcare professional working with breastfeeding infants? Wish you knew more about assessing and treating tongue ties? Earn continuing education credits and transform your practice with the Professional's Guide to Tongue Tie in the Breastfeeding Infant. It's perfect for any practitioner who works with infants and their mothers, especially those working through feeding challenges. Learn to identify who needs treatment, build a qualified care team, and provide holistic care options. Discover the ins and outs of phrenotomy, including procedure preparation and best aftercare practices. By the end, you'll be confidently supporting breastfeeding families armed with the latest protocols and be part of an interdisciplinary community of experts just like you. Tongue ties are nothing new, but the right way to assess and treat them is. Ready to make a real difference? Join now and become a tongue tie expert. Sign up today at tongueTieExperts.net/professional and become the evidence-based resource that your community needs. To show my gratitude, I'm offering you a special discount as a podcast listener. Use code PODCAST40 to save 40% off today.